Good morning, everyone. Before I get started, I just want to say I don't get this opportunity very often, but today actually is my anniversary. Yeah. 29 years ago, I married this beautiful woman right down here, Rhonda. It was a good choice. God has been good to me. Before we get started, let us bow with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, it is through him that we have an opportunity for eternity with you. Without him, Lord, we would be hopeless, and I pray that each one of us does not leave today knowing anything but that. Lord, I thank you so much for this church. Lord, I pray that we encourage each other to do good works for you, to be the light in this dark world. Because of what your Son did for us, Lord, I pray that we show that same love to our community, to our nation, to our world. Lord, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're new today, by the way, I'm not the regular pastor, so I'm the fill-in. I'm the substitute, but that doesn't mean you can play around in class. All right? Well, we're talking today, we're still going through 1 John. We're actually on the last chapter. This is the beginning of that last chapter. We have a few more sermons yet to go on it. What I want to tell you today, you've got to know. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It's going to talk about faith. Faith is knowing who God is, knowing who his Son is. And it's so important to John that you know that. So many times when we call these books, and we go chapter by chapter in a book. These weren't books, these were letters written. This specifically was written to believers, this specifically was written to the church, that they would know some things, because things are starting to get a little cloudy. You think things are cloudy now, they weren't any different then. People started believing things that simply were not true. John wanted you to know what the truth was. He starts out chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love God, that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. I want to back up a long way. Because what he talks about through this whole letter, and if you haven't done it, go home and read the letter. You will find the word know all the way through every single chapter, all the way from the beginning to end. John wants you to know. That's what faith is. Faith is knowing. It's not about thinking. It's not about believing. It's not about my beliefs against your beliefs. It's knowing what is true. Knowing who God is, knowing who his Son is, and living in accordance to that. I'm going to back up, actually, because you might have missed it through all of the sermons, and if you did, I don't want you to, so we're going to back up. This might seem a little more like a Sunday school lesson than a sermon, but we got to back up because there's some things that John wants you to know, and it's not that John wants you to know, it's God needs you to know. And in that, you need to know. He wants you to know that Jesus is the Christ. What is the Christ? He is the Messiah. He is the one who came to save. He is God in the flesh. John just doesn't want you to know that. God needs you to know that. Christianity isn't a belief that we have. It is a following of the one true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. John needs you to know who Jesus is. John would tell you, if you don't know who Jesus is, nothing else is going to make any difference whatsoever. He wants you to know that he came, that God came to earth, appeared as a man, gave up his life, not because plan A didn't work and they had to move to plan B, because God sent his Son to die for you. He sent his Son to die for me. God came down. John needs you to know that. He needs you to know that the Son of God was righteous. He needs you to know that the Son of God had no sin. What difference does that make? Well, that is the only way that he could be worthy of taking all of ours. He did nothing on his own initiative. He did everything by his Father's initiatives. He went to the cross. Even on the before he went to the cross, he said, God, is there any other way? Father, is there any other way to do this? No. Then I'll do it your way. And he did. John needs you to know, God needs you to know who the Spirit of God is. When you hear it, when you feel it, when it's inside of you, because it's through the Spirit of God that we know what truth is. If you got a chance to go to the Sunday school lesson, you would know this, that there's a way to test the spirits of what you hear. Is it from the Spirit of God or is it not? And John will help you understand that. You need to know what is coming from the Spirit of God. He wants you to know who the children of God are, and he also wants you to know the children who the true children of the devil are. Because you might be one or the other. I will tell you, just because you came in these doors and sat in these chairs, in these walls of this church building, does not make you a child of God. Saying that you're a child of God does not make you a child of God. John wants you to know that. There are people that are children of God and there are people that are not. You need to know which side you're on. Because we're going to see a victory at the end of this, and you need to be on the right side of the victory. Or woe is us. He wants to know why we love in the first place. He wants you to know why we love in the first place. And he'll tell you, it's not because we loved God, but because he first loved us. We don't teach God what love is. We don't show God what love is. We love through his Son who came and showed the world what love was, and we show that to everybody else. We love as an outcropping of what Jesus did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That who should ever believeth in him should not perish. That's why we love. Not because we have to. Not because there's this commandment out there that says, love your brother, and we say, oh, guess I got to then. We'll talk a little bit about that. It's because he first loved us. It's because our whole concept, our whole paradigm should be around what Jesus did for us. And then we can do that for others. I'm going to change this list a little bit because I want to talk about me. I want to talk about you. Because John, I want you to understand when you read this letter, John is a very positive guy. John automatically assumes that you're on God's side. Praise God. He's a great guy. I, on the other hand, am a realist and realize we all are not. John is a realist as well. But John presents everything as if you are. I want you to understand when you read through this, he also kind of really wants you to know if you're not. And he'll actually tell you through it. And I'm not going to get through each one of these because, like I said, these are the sermons of a few weeks ago and I'm back. But if you don't know, go back and read because he'll tell you which side you're on. He doesn't call you by name, though, so don't worry about that. So on every one of these, I have added a or not. John doesn't add the or not, okay? John writes God's word better than I do, so listen to him. But I want you to say there is an implied on a lot of these that it's possible that you're on the other side. He wants you to know that you live in him, and this him is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You live in him, and he lives in you. What does that mean? That means that everything about him is in you. Everything about you should be in him. Everything you do, you then, you should have died to self. You should no longer do things by your own initiative. You should start doing things by God's initiative. You have the power of God within you, or not. And if there's any of these you wonder about, like I said, I would hope that you read the whole thing. I have where John talks about that. And you can say whether you are in him or not. Before I get on, I just want you to say, the Bible talks about deceiving oneself. It is actually better for you if you know that you're not than thinking you are when you're not. Because then you don't even know that the change needs to happen. He needs you to know that you are the light of the world. Jesus said that to us. We sang about it in the songs. This light is what it is known as the Shekinah glory. It is actually the light of God. When we become God's children, we become the light of God. That's where you get that Sunday school lesson that says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bush? No. Jesus says that. He says, you're a city set on top of a hill. That's what the church is. It's a city set on the top of the hill so it can shine to this dark world. Each one of you is part of that light, or not. You need to know. You have passed from death and into life. We think this is something that happens at the end of this life. No, it's something that happened as soon as you became a new creation of God. You have passed from the death of sin, and you're in the light of God. Your life has changed. You are a new creation. Or not. You are born of God. I don't think any of us really kind of get that concept of that born into God, that adopted into his family, what it really means to be his children. But the church needs to know that. They need to understand that. They need to understand that they are. That the whole purpose that we are here is to follow our Father. And you are a child of God. Or not. You are of the truth. The world tries to really mix this up a lot. They say, well, every religion's pretty much the same, and they all believe their own thing, and whatever church you go to is fine, whatever you believe is fine. John says, no, there is one truth. Ultimately, that's why he writes this, by the way. There are a lot of untruths going around and circling. And this wasn't that long after Jesus was gone, and they're already getting things messed up. But you are of the truth. What you believe is the truth. You're in the truth or not. You love the children of God. He says that. He wants you to know that. He actually, his letter is really kind of inclusive within the believers of the church. But I don't want you to stay inclusive. It's not just about loving the children of God. You should love people into Jesus so they too might become children of God. And you love God. We'll talk a little bit more about this, what it means to love God, because that's actually what we're talking about in the specific passage we're going to. It's about loving the children of God and loving God and knowing who Jesus is. As you see, that's 5:2 and 5:3, so we will be talking about that. You either love God or you don't. When you read through, you will see this is an example of people that do. These are people, the example of people don't. These are the example of the people that are in God, and these are the people that are not in God. These are the example of the people that are in the light, and this is the example of the people that are in the darkness. And he makes it very clear as you go down Which side you're on. A problem we have in this generation, we have this thing we call living on the fence. Well, I'm kind of living on the fence. I'm kind of mostly for God, but I like to do my own things. There is no fence in the Bible, all right? Let me say that again. There is no fence in the Bible. You listen to Paul's teaching, you listen to Jesus' teaching, you listen to what is the Word of God, there's no fence. You're either on this side or you're on this side. You cannot serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, you'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve both. You're not on the fence. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness. You're not in the gray area. You're not in the dim area. You're either in one or you're the other. John wants to make that perfectly clear. Because these teachings are starting to make things cloudy. These teachings are starting to say, well, Jesus wasn't quite what you think he was. Yeah, he is. Don't matter what you believe, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I hear this verse probably more than any, and I don't want to step too much on this because this isn't a future sermon, but I just want to say that that is much the same. Except I'll tell you, I probably should not even put an or not here because by this time he doesn't really give you this is the people that do have eternal life and these are the people that don't. When you start getting towards the end, if you don't know by this time in the letter which side you're on, you need to reread the letter. But I want to say the implication is, if you say that you love God and hate your brother, we talked about this weeks past, you're not a guy that loves God and hates your brother. John says you're a liar. You can't love God and hate your brother. The people that love God and hate their brother are on the fence. That there is no such thing as a fence. If you hate your brother, you hate God. That's what John is saying. If you hate your brother and you hate God, you do not have eternal life. That's what John would be getting to. He doesn't say it that way because he's a positive guy. He says, I write this so that you would know, we get to that again, so that you would know that you have eternal life. So if I read down through here, and I read that I love God, and I do the things that show that I love God, which we'll talk about in a little bit. If I get down there and I find out I'm in the light, I'm not in the darkness anymore. If I get down and I find out I am a new creation, and I go down farther, then when I get to this, I can be so excited because then I can know. But if I get down and I'm halfway reading and I think, you know, I'm really not in the light. You know, I really don't love God. When you get to this, you shouldn't read it and say, oh, well, thank goodness I have eternal life. You should realize that you need to become a new creation to get to this part. Because it's a wonderful verse if you're in God. Hebrews would tell you it's a somewhat terrifying verse if you're not. So then comes the question, back to what this whole thing's about in 5:1-3. Do you love God? This is what he says here is all the way through to give you that understanding of do you or don't you. This is just the do you love God part. There's a lot more parts. This is the commandment. This, by the way, is out of Matthew. It's not out of John. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is much like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus told us to do. That was his commandment. So what does he say in 1 John? John says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So what's he saying here? Do you love God or not? Well, this is what love God is. This is where you need to find out if you're there or not. You keep his commandments. You do what he says. He is, in fact, not just your Savior. Jesus Christ is your Lord. You do the things that you want, know that your Father wants you to do. You live a life that is within his will, not yours. You live to please him, not you. If you do those things, then you know that you love God. If you live just to please you, probably don't love God. I want to underline not burdensome. Because I'll tell you, if you read several different versions of the Bible that actually uses different words here, but if you actually get down to the true Greek, burdensome is a good word. There's another word that's a very good word. It's called grievous. Things that aren't such good words that you'll see some of the Bibles use is difficult. I will tell you, there's a big difference between difficult and burdensome. Because I would argue that a lot of things that God really needs you to do in your life are really difficult. I climbed Mount Rainier about a month and a half ago. That was incredibly difficult. But it wasn't one bit burdensome. Just because something God needs you to do is difficult, because I'll tell you, you read all the way through the Bible, there's some things they were asked to do that are really, really difficult. But you didn't find God's people seeing them as burdensome. I can tell you, if I am the commander of an army, and I said, God, how are we going to beat these guys? And he says, you're going to go walk around this wall for 7 days? I got to go tell my people this plan, and that's going to be difficult. But I guarantee you, for Joshua, it was not burdensome, because he knew who God was, and he knew if that was God's plan, I don't care what the people think of the plan's going to work, and we're going to be victorious. You go through Hebrews 11. That's the faith chapter. These are people that God calls out as great men and women of faith. And I guarantee you, pretty much every one of them, well, there are a few exceptions, what they were asked to do was difficult. But in none of those cases were they burdensome. Burdensome is a word that means heavy on you. It weighs heavy on you. It's like, oh, I hate doing what God wants me to do. You worry about it all the time. Oh, do I got to do that again? This gal came up to me yesterday. It's funny because God will challenge you when you're doing sermons. I don't know if he does it to Chuck or not, but he'll challenge you with exactly what you're reading about and studying about, I think, to see if you'll follow through. This gal comes up to me. I'm at the gas station, and she says, I completely forgot to bring my wallet, my purse, anything. I have absolutely no money. My car is completely empty of gas. I can't even go get anything. I'll run out of gas. I'll be stuck on the freeway. Can you help? So, in preparing for this message, it isn't even in the message, but I read it, where Jesus talks about love is not of words and talk. Love is about actions and truth. He says that if you have the opportunity to help this person, you know what a child of God would do? You know what a child of Satan would do? You're given choices. God says if you have the means to help somebody and they're in need, then it's a pretty clear choice of what you ought to do and what God wants you to do. So I told her, God be with you, and I drove off. No. I met that need. I had the ability. There was somebody with that need. God says that my children help people. That's what they do. Actually, it would have probably taken it to the full extreme. I would have actually filled 2 tanks of gas, but that's hard to do. Burdensome. I want you to go through this list, and I want to talk about each one of them briefly, and I want you to think to yourself, is doing this burdensome to you? We're talking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are some of his things that he asked. I'll say commanded his people to do. Let your light shine. When you wake up in the morning and you go to work or you go wherever it is you go during the day, does Shekinah glory shine from you? Or do you say, oh, I hate having to go out. I don't even have my cup of coffee yet. You ever meet people that if you ask them how they're doing, you'll get about 30 minutes of woe is me? That shouldn't be us, church. The Bible says that you should be ready for people to ready with an answer for people to ask you what hope you have. If you say, woe is me, they're not going to ask what hope you have because they don't know that you have any, and maybe you don't. If they see you smiling no matter what is the situation, they're going to start asking you. If you haven't had anybody lately ask you where the source of your joy is, you might want to start shining a little brighter. Because the world doesn't shine very bright. You go to Walmart and they say, well, how are you doing today? If you say, fantastic, thank you so much for asking, first of all, they'll have to get back up again. And then they'll say, what is going on with you that life is so good? You don't have a whole lot of time to do a lot of witnessing at the check stand because there's people behind you, but just say, God is good. That's shining the glory. Because the reason you are so good should be, because by the way, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, not so they'll be impressed with you, not so they'll wonder what you have that they don't, it's so that God will get the glory. And that should be your answer, because by the way, that probably is something that you have and they don't. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Some people don't even know what that means. That is simply, no matter what you're doing, no matter what story you're telling, no matter what you're reporting, no matter what you're witnessing about, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Don't change it a little. Don't make the story just a little more exciting because what the fish you really caught wasn't really that impressive. Tell it exactly like it is. Because if you lie about one thing, then they will have no reason to believe you about the main things. If they know that you can be trusted, then the God you believe in will make a little more sense to them. Turn the other cheek. This is after somebody slapped you in the face, by the way. Let it go. Turn the other cheek. Would you find that burdensome to do? I think this falls in the realm of difficult. Shouldn't be burdensome. Go with him too. What that's talking about is somebody compels you to go 1 mile and says, hey, I need you to go 1 mile. And back then, it actually forced you to go 1 mile if there were soldiers. But whoever it is, if they ask for one, give them two. Go above and beyond. That's when people really start seeing God, is when you start going above and beyond. Talk about difficult. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who persecute you. Those are the things. That's difficult. But it's a God thing. Shouldn't be burdensome to us to do. Forgive others for their transgressions. You ever say, I just cannot forgive that person? Don't say that. Don't be there. You don't want to be where you're on the judgment seat and Jesus says, you know, I just can't forgive that person. The Bible does say, if you forgive, then you will be forgiven. If you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Forgiving people shouldn't be burdensome to you. It actually should make you feel a whole lot better. By the way, holding grudges is burdensome, if you haven't noticed. Sell your possessions and give. Wow, that's a tough one. He just said that to a rich guy, right? No, Jesus said that to the people. You should consider other people's needs as more important than your own. Difficult shouldn't be burdensome. Store up your treasures in heaven. It's not what you can accumulate here. It's what you can accumulate for the kingdom of God. Is giving away burdensome for you? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We call that the golden rule, but Jesus is the one that said it. Why is this the golden rule? Because Jesus says with this particular command, all the law balances on this. If you would just learn how to do this right, you got the rest of it down. It's about looking at other people's needs, meeting their needs. What you want them to do to you, do to them. Shouldn't be burdensome. Invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, pretty much everybody that you are uncomfortable with, you should be inviting them in and helping them. For a lot of people, very, very difficult. For God's people, should not be burdensome. And go and make disciples. We should want more and more people to know who Jesus is. It's not just about you knowing these things. It's not just about your faith. It's about you spreading it to the world. We call it witnessing. Is that burdensome for you? Shouldn't be. So why do we talk about faith? Because faith overcomes. We use faith in this really small little box. We use faith, and by the way, faith is appropriately used here, but it doesn't stay here with, oh, I've got a backache. I need to have faith for my back to feel better. I have a friend in the hospital. I need to have faith for them to get healed. We use faith in this box of, there's something I need or something I want or something I need or want for my friend, and that's where faith stays. Faith is about that, but faith is a much broader thing. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I'll say, depending on what translation you use, that kind of says something completely different. Some says whoever, or it mentions who. This one specifically says, and more accurate in the Greek, whatever. And that whatever, by the way, is your faith. Victory that overcome the world, our faith. That is what is our faith, what we know, is born of God. You cannot have faith without God. And if you have faith, you will be an overcomer. Overcomer doesn't mean I am sick today and tomorrow I'm well. Maybe, maybe not. Overcoming means I am sick today and there is God. Tomorrow there is God whether I'm sick or not. And the next day there will be God. And the next day there will be God. Because God is the one that created everything. God is the one who is all-powerful. God is the one that's almighty. And I'm his child. So it really doesn't matter what condition I'm in as long as I'm with him. If you think that faith means that only good things happen to you, you don't read your Bible. Read what happened to the people in Hebrews 11, who had great faith. By the way, the Bible says they still had great faith when they died. They died well. Well, if they had faith, why did they die anyway? Because they shouldn't have died if they had faith. It's really messed up. These people got sawed in two. You think they prayed for that? These people got burned at the stake. That's what it says at the end of chapter 11. He doesn't even mention their names because there's just so many of them. He starts off naming specific people like Noah and Abraham and what happened to them. And down at the bottom, there's just so many people that followed God no matter what. And these people got persecuted and these people got killed. Not from a lack of faith, but in faith. Is dying difficult? Yes. But I guarantee you, when it's all over, definitely not burdensome, because you have something far greater. They knew what was coming, not their death, but their life, if they would just stick with God. When Paul gets towards the end, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It doesn't mean all good things will happen to you. It means the greatest thing will happen to you. You'll be with God. Don't keep faith in a box. Faith is what overcomes the world. And not just the faith, but you with your faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You will overcome. That means you will stay above the fray, and no matter what happens to you, trust me, Paul had a whole list of things that happened to him, but he kept the faith. He probably oftentimes asked that, well, I'd rather not have it this, and I'd rather not have that. We know that he prayed that the thorn of the flesh would go away, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you. I'll tell you, no matter what you're working with, God's grace is sufficient for all of us. Faith does not necessarily mean you get what you want. It means that you know there's a God. You know that he has a son. You know that you are in him. He is in you, and you will have salvation. I have a video that's, it's an older song. Older meaning it was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years or more ago. But I think it kind of encompasses to me really what the concept of faith in Jesus really is. A wonderful, powerful place. That's where you'll be if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Didn't say there wouldn't be any troubles. He said this, I have told you these things so that you may know that you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. He is the victor. The victory is in him if we would just stay in him. With that faith that the God that created the worlds is on our side. Paul said it this way, thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Do it for God. Live for God. Live because you know what his Son did, because you believe in his Son. Faith in the Son is to know him, to live in him, and overcome the world. That's what we have, church. It's a wonderful thing. One thing he mentions in this is the world does not know. Boy, I wish we could let them know. I wish our lives show them what faith in Jesus is. I hope that when difficulties come our way, people can see that we have a peace that surpasses all understanding, because we believe in Jesus Christ. When David went against Goliath, he knew he was going to win, because God said that as soon as you take a step, then that ground is yours, so he already had the promise. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to a fiery furnace without a promise, so they didn't really know what was going to happen. But exactly what they said is, I don't know if God will save us or not, but we're not going to do what you say. We're going to do what he says, no matter what happens. Both of those took faith, but Shadrach's, Meshach, and Abednego's faith is more powerful to me. Because it's one thing when God promised something and you just believe him and move forward, which is a difficult thing and not everybody does. It's another thing not knowing. It's difficult not to know. But I tell you, if God's on your side, then it doesn't matter what's on the other side if God goes through it with you. Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's where hope is. That's where peace is. That's where John wants you to be. That's where God wants you to be. John wants you to know that you're there. I suspect a lot of you already know whether or not you're there. If you don't read, if you know you're not, then go to Jesus. He's waiting. He wants you. Prodigal son wasn't there for a while. He decided to go somewhere else. But when he came back, the father was there with open arms, and that's exactly where Jesus will be. Your past isn't what makes a difference now. It's your future. Do you want it to be with God? Do you want to choose God? Do you want to be a child of God? Do you want to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? Do you want to love to do His commandments and His will? I hope so. Shall we pray? Almighty God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his willingness to come down here to earth, to be sinless for an entire life, doing your will here on earth, to the cross, freely giving up of himself to show us your love, looking up to you and asking you to forgive those who were persecuting him. It's beyond our comprehension, God, what Jesus has done. But Lord, help us to accept us. Accept it. Help us to know with pure faith that he did it for each and every one of us. Help us to live a life that shows that love not only to you but to the world, so that people can look at us and know we are your children. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen.